the journey of faith is not predictable. There are a lot of surprises. Even though God is always the same, He always loves us, His intention is always for our good. He's the unchanging love. Our experience of His love seems to change a lot. Ups and downs, good days, bad days. And sometimes the journey of faith seems to go in the opposite direction. Well, this is what comes to mind as we reflect on the journey of Jacob. Today's first reading focuses especially on him rather than on Joseph. We're in the middle of the Joseph cycle, but here we reflect on the experience of Jacob, Joseph's father. He arrives in Beersheba. You might remember the last time we heard about Jacob in Beersheba was when he was a young man. We read this earlier this week. He was fleeing his brother Esau, and he was headed back to the land of his mother. So he was headed to the east. Now he's in Beersheba, and he's about to go west, so to Egypt. Beersheba is symbolically the last town in the south of the Holy Land, of the Promised Land. So to go beyond Beersheba is to leave the land that the Lord promised to Abraham and his descendants. That's why it's a big deal in the Bible to be in Beersheba or to go beyond Beersheba. This is, as I say, the second time we read about this in the life of Jacob. First, when he was a young man, now he's an old man. Now, we don't think probably too much about crossing borders because we don't have to cross many borders, but this little story brought back to my mind my experience last year. We were in the very severe lockdown. It was already more than a year ago, and I was asked to bless a dead man there in the funeral home in Zapote. And so I think it was probably illegal, but anyway, I got in the car and drove to Zapote, and there were no cars anywhere. And the road to the funeral home was blocked. So I went the next block, and that road was blocked, and there was all checkpoints everywhere. And I didn't know exactly how to get there. So I got to that intersection in Zapote where if you turn right, you go up toward Old Las Piñas. If you turn left, you go into Zapote Cavila. And I said, I'll just make a U-turn. Well, that was blocked. So I went straight, and I went up over the bridge there, that little waterway. It used to be full of garbage. Now it's been cleaned up. Anyway, that little waterway is the border between NCR and Cavite. And so I left Las Piñas without thinking about it. I made a U-turn. Again, there's no traffic, so there's no problem. Came back. There was a checkpoint. They stopped me. Why am I entering Las Piñas from the province? I said, I'm not entering Las Piñas from the province. I'm just making a U-turn. So my only point is I wasn't paying any attention to the border. I left my home, Las Piñas. I'm a resident, and I was outside. So that maybe not so important, but I'm just trying to get you to think about what the experience of Jacob is here. He's leaving the Promised Land. I mean, he's aware of it. So he gets to Beersheba, he offers sacrifices to the God of his father Isaac, and God appears to him as if to encourage him. He appeared to him in before when he was leaving the Holy Land, gave him a promise, and here he gives him another promise. It's an interesting one because he says, the Lord says, do not be afraid to go down to Egypt. Don't be afraid to leave the land that I promised your grandfather and your father and you and all your people. This is why I say the journey of faith sometimes takes surprising turns or detours. This seems like exactly the opposite of what God said just a few years ago. Go there, and there you're going to be a great nation. Now he's saying, leave there, and I'll make you a great nation. That's what he says. Do not be afraid for to go to Egypt, for there I will make you a great nation. Not only will I go down to Egypt with you, I will also bring you back here after Joseph has closed your eyes. So Jacob, having settled, well, he wasn't that settled in Canaan because he was still considered a foreigner. He was a nomadic tribesman, and there were only about 70 in the family. So it wasn't as if he could take over the promised land. And it was a famine, so he really didn't have much choice. They had no food. They were desperate. He, at the lowest point, just when it seems there's nothing else they can do, he gets the news, Joseph is alive. Not only is he alive, he's in charge of all of Egypt. It's like a death and resurrection story. And so Jacob at first didn't believe it, but then finally he says, okay, I'm going to go and see Joseph. He's not thinking now about getting food. He wants to see his son, Joseph. And they have this beautiful a reunion at the end of the passage. They embrace and weep for a long time. And he says, now, at last, I can die. I'm so happy I can die. I've reached something that makes my life complete. That's an expression that people still use. Now, they don't use it very seriously, but people say things like, oh, once I saw Barakai, I could die, or something like that. Once I went to a beautiful place or did something I always wanted to do, now I can die. It's almost trivialized. But in this case, it's Jacob's awareness that God has been faithful. One of the interesting things about this passage is when God appears to Jacob in a vision, he calls him Jacob, his old name. Because remember, his new name is Israel, and God gave him that name through after he wrestled with the angel. His new name is Israel, and in this passage, it keeps going back and forth. Sometimes it talks about Israel, sometimes Jacob, sometimes Israel, sometimes Jacob, and as if there's still this transition taking place between the old and the new. He's still in journey. He's already an old man, but he's still being transformed into this new Israel. Okay, so this is where the journey has Jacob or Israel. He's got everything he owns, fills up the wagons, all his family, and they go to Goshen, which is in the eastern part of Egypt. So cross over the border, goes to Goshen. That's where the reunion is. And that's where they stay, pretty much. Land of Goshen is the place where the Israelites thrived in Egypt. Let's take a look at what Jesus says to his apostles about their journey of faith, their missionary journey. Remember what he said yesterday, when you go, don't take anything with you. See the difference from the experience of Jacob and the experience of the apostles. Jacob takes everything with him. He's got wagons full of stuff. The apostles have nothing, not even a penny. The new way is to live in complete dependence on God. That was in yesterday's gospel. And today, Jesus continues the missionary discourse, the instructions to the missionaries. And he says, not only will you have nothing physically, but you don't even have to prepare yourself intellectually. You don't have to think ahead of time about what you're going to say. Be like sheep in the midst of wolves. Be shrewd as serpents, yes, don't be foolish. But be as simple as doves. So this is an instruction not about what that, you know, what the physical preparations are or physical requirements are. This is an instruction about the inner attitude of a missionary, the inner disposition, innocence, simplicity, and shrewdness, confidence in God, not worrying about how this is going to work or what I'm going to say. Why would any sheep go into the midst of wolves? Why would any dove want to be like a serpent? What's going on here? This is an instruction about how to be a faithful disciple as we minister in the world. We can't do it the way the world does things, because then we'll just establish a worldly kingdom if we do anything at all. What we're being sent forth to establish or to build up is something that comes from God. So we can't rely only on human resources. We have to rely on the Holy Spirit. Jesus doesn't hide the fact that it's going to be difficult and that we will face severe opposition. Persecution, betrayal by family members, trials before synagogues and kings, and even death. And he says, don't worry about any of that. Don't worry about any of that, because you belong to me. I'll be the one to take care of you. So go forth and do what I tell you to do. Don't worry about it. Reading about these severe trials, the persecution, even by family members, seems like a fitting gospel to have on this feast day of the Chinese martyrs. If you know, well, this is the story of all martyrs, but in this case, we're honoring 120 martyrs of China. They experienced exactly what Jesus talks about in this gospel. They were in their own country. They weren't going to foreign lands, but they were rejected by their own people, by their own government, and persecuted, tortured, and martyred. Now, of course, they suffered it, but they clung to this idea that they were sheep in the midst of wolves, not sheep at the mercy of wolves, sheep under the care of the good shepherd. So if we understand who is directing us, who's caring for us, then it will make sense to go into the midst of wolves. Otherwise, don't do it. Why would any sheep walk into the midst of wolves? The sheep only follows the shepherd, only responds to the voice of the shepherd. And the shepherd has in mind what is going to be good for the sheep, and what's going to be good for the wolves too. Remember, this is what I've been emphasizing the last couple of days. God has a much bigger picture of what he's doing. So when he tells us to do our little part, it might not make sense to us, but it does make sense to him. And we put our trust in the shepherd. We're simple as doves, shrewd as serpents. That shrewdness does not come from human cleverness. It comes from the Holy Spirit, so that we know when to speak, when to be silent. We know when to take risks and when to pull back. That comes from the Holy Spirit. So we are not exactly in the situation of Jacob, who's traveling with his whole family and all his possessions. We're sheep, empty-handed, vulnerable, weak, without knowledge of exactly what's happening. And yet we're more secure under the guidance of the Good Shepherd than Jacob was with all the wagons of Pharaoh. We're more secure, we have more confidence because of the gift of the Holy Spirit. The salvation of the just comes from the Lord. We are to be just as we go forth as missionary disciples. our salvation does not come from us. It comes from the Lord.